the only one that actually gets to have these conversations with colleagues. I don't know. I guess I still feel a little weird about it in the sense that I don't want people making any assumptions or decisions about me that doesn't, it's about something that really doesn't concern them in any way. So yeah, I guess I'm, now that I think about it, I am not comfortable of speaking about my relationship status because I think I might have, it may have repercussions.
I've always been very open about it, but walking the line, like if somebody asks me a question or anything, I'm always 100% open about, oh, I'm in a throuple. But I'm also trying to walk the line of not being in people's face, like, oh, I'm in a throuple. Does that offend you?
I'm polyamorous. Are you triggered?
Yeah. You've always been better about this, Josh. More open. Yeah.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kahlo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, conscious uncoupling, and creating the relationship that truly aligns for you. This is episode 122, We Only Date Unicorns. This is a collaboration that I did with Throuple Talk, Liv, Josh, and Char that live in Houston, Texas as a polygamist throuple. And this is going to be a two-part series. I know I've done quite a bit of these lately, but you guys, when these episodes get to be over an hour, I find it hard to listen that long. And this is packed with juicy and really amazing content. So what I've done is I've broken this into two parts. 122 is today and episode 123 will be aired on Wednesday. So hang tight to get to part two, but I hope that you enjoy our collaboration together.
Yeah, that's interesting. You touch on couple swapping and there are a lot of people that have that as a rule. And I find it interesting that that's not as demonized as that we only relationship with unicorns, because that's also it's a very similar dynamic. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's telling you right up front, like we're closed off to having a relationship separately from what we have here.
We have a great show today. Today we have Jennifer on the show. Jennifer, you'd like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi guys. I'm Jennifer Kahlo. I'm the host of the Open Bedroom Podcast, where I focus on E&M relationships, especially polyamory. And I'm so excited to be on today. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We are Throuple Talk. We are a throuple, and our mission is to normalize different and alternative relationship structures. And today we are doing a collaboration with Jennifer, and we wanted to talk about why dating women exclusively best aligns with our relationship goals.
Uh-huh. Why do we all love those unicorns?
And why do we choose to not date men? That's something that's highly frowned upon in some of the open relationship circles, and wanted to just talk about why it shouldn't be as demonized as it is, because some of us, it just works better this way.
Jen, you want to talk a little bit about what you and Scott do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't realize that we had a very similar structure to you three, but Scott and I only date women. We've had different variations of this dynamic where we've had a closed throuple for several months. And then it was interesting because the woman that we were seeing, we called it closed because on our end, we were closed and we weren't seeing anyone else. It was a time where kids were home in the summer and we were really busy and we didn't have capacity to see anyone else. So it just kind of made sense. But she was still open. And so it wasn't a completely closed throuple. And after a few months into this, I was like, hold on now. She's having a lot of fun. I think I want to join in on this. So we started opening back up on our end. So we do exclusively date women. I know the term unicorn is a bit frowned upon. So I hope we get to dig into that particular terminology. And we so far have only dated together. So only dated together, only sleep together. And then just within the last, I'd say month and a half, we've begun to kind of open up to the partners that we are seeing to let me have some one-on-one girl time, which has been so much fun.
Awesome. It's fun to be in a relationship where you can kind of play with those dynamics and you have the freedom to adjust things as you see fit for right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about you three? What is your dynamic like?
We are currently closed. I think all of us are pretty polysaturated right now with just running this podcast and and, you know, establishing our own relationship. Like at this point, not going to say never, you know, but for right now, we are closed at the moment.
Right. So we're definitely not dating anyone at the moment, and mostly because we're just so busy and so focused on ourselves, but we're open to it.
Yeah. This has been a busy year for us. We've moved cross country. We all started new jobs. We're doing a podcast and making new friends. So there's just not a lot of time right now for anything outside of our relationships that we're working on.
Priorities.
Yeah, but definitely something to look forward to in the future. And yes, when we are going to be dating, we definitely think it's going to be women only, because that's what we want.
Yeah, so let's dig in deeper. Why only women for you three?
I think we all have a variety of reasons. Overall, it just fits. It just fits for all of us. But for me personally, Josh is the type of man that I've always looked for. And now that I finally found him, I have so much to discover about our relationship, the way it works, that I don't have any more bandwidth, any more emotional, romantic energy for anyone else. So even if I were to date at this moment, which it wouldn't matter if it would be a man or a woman. I'm just not interested in adding even more. So, but other than that, sexually, Josh is straight and I'm bisexual, pansexual, and it makes sense. And Shar is bisexual. So it makes sense that we would date women, because it's something that I want it to be like something that brings us closer together, rather than something where I go off on my own and do something and he doesn't take any part in it. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. And Shar, I'm so excited to hear your perspective on this, because I did hear it on one of the earlier podcasts and almost fell out of my chair. I was like, this is amazing. So would you share your perspective?
Yeah. So for me, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, Josh is the only man I've ever been with. And initially when we first opened, I did consider that maybe I might want to start playing with other men and, you know, experience that. And then that connection just never happened. And I didn't want to force it. And then after a while, it became something that, like, that in and of itself, that he's the only one I've ever been with, really started to turn me on. It was like, it almost became like a kink for me. It's like, it's pretty cool that I have this freedom, but I don't feel the need to act on it. And I love that I've only ever been with him. But at the same time, I love exploring with other women. At this point, I've only explored with other women with Josh. And so all of my sexual experiences, other than with Liv, have always involved Josh. And that's something that I've enjoyed. And for me, it is, I'm not one that has ever been interested in casual, like no strings attached sex. So I can have sexual experiences with someone that I don't plan on seeing again if it's with Josh, because that's still significant to me. So that's kind of my take on it at the moment.
Awesome. I am dying to hear Josh's perspective on this.
Well, like Liv was saying earlier, it's easy for me. I'm not bisexual, so I wasn't looking. I'm not dating a man. And I'll say the one thing that drives me nuts is the lack of tolerance for, you know, I get asked a lot, oh, you must have a one penis policy or something. Like, there's not a one penis policy. This, I created the opportunity and gave her, Shar, the freedom when we first opened up to go explore that. And she just wasn't interested in that. It wasn't my kink, you know, that she would be interested in. I just kept it open.
I remember he'd show me pictures of, you know, couples on field and whatever. And I would look at them and I'd be like, yeah, like he's attractive. And then we'd meet in person, like there's just it, that connection was not there. The chemistry is not there. And I wasn't about to try to force something that I wasn't feeling, you know? So yeah, it's not a one penis policy. It's a one penis preference. So why try to force something that isn't happening naturally?
It's just something kind of organically fell into place for us. It's just what we're all interested in. And every one of us, you could catch any of us at any moment trying to hit on the redhead at the end of the bar, you know? It's like...
Yes.
I love that. So then I'll have a very different dynamic than you three. And I do have a one penis policy. So Scott is a jealous man. And he's like, I don't want another man inside of you. I don't want to share another man with you. That's just how I feel. We have gone to therapy. We have tried to move past this. And he's like, I have zero interest in sharing you. So again, to be very controversial, because I'm sure a lot of people listening to this are like, that is super wrong. It's just our dynamic and it is how it is. And as I coach other people in relationship and coach them into the lifestyle or coach them through the lifestyle, I always say, you know, my dynamic isn't for everybody, but it should be respected in the same way that if you want a couple swap or you want a swing or you want a throuple or you want a whatever. That's my policy with him is I love him. I want to be with him forever. And in order for us to be open, this is the dynamic that we're in. And we only see women, which is not a problem for me because I find women delicious and beautiful and really am and having so much fun exploring my bisexual side and sharing with him really turns me on. And Char, to your point, like knowing that I'm all his is such a kink and it's so sexy and so hot that you can really bring that energy into the bedroom. So we do that a lot when we're one-on-one. Like we wouldn't do that with another woman there because that might be kind of weird. But like just last night, I was like, this pussy is all yours. And he was like, yes, it is.
I know. And I hate that that's like kind of frowned upon by some people. Yeah. Yeah. So Jennifer, can you expand a little bit on that jealousy? Like, how does it make you feel? Because like for me, there were times that I almost was insulted that Josh would want to share me with somebody else. Like after we went from being close for so long, and then like, not that he was ever pressuring me to be with another man, but it was like, come on, like you're not interested in this one. Like, no. And like, do you want me to be? Do you need me to be? Like, I want to be his only. Like
maybe you did want her to be. So when you open a relationship and one has freedom and the other one, it seems like they don't. It's like you feel like, okay, if I have the freedom, you should have the freedom as well. So you do tend to be like, I want to be fair, right? I want you to be interested. I want to make sure that you're not interested in. You're not interested, not because you think I don't want you to be interested, but that you're really not interested. So that guilt comes in and you sometimes have a tendency to push people. You know, like ask them, are you sure you don't want to do this? And like, it's because people judge you and you don't want to be judged for being the guy that tells his wife no, you know? So I don't know why it's so bad to have preferences. Everybody has, like, I wanted to say, like, it's not one penis policy or not. It doesn't really matter how you call it. What it matters that is that we have that relationship synchronicity where we are all on the same page. I only want to be with one man. Char only wants to be with one man, and Josh wants us to be with him. It's perfect. It doesn't matter how we call it, and if we're gonna, if it's fair or not to the people outside of our relationship, as long as we are all on the same page, yeah. Right?
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jennifer, to circle back to the jealousy, is that a turn on to you at all? Like kind of that ownership?
That he's a bit jealous? Yeah. I mean, I wrote down something. So we have a couple friend who said they're in sort of a similar dynamic where they opened up their relationship so that she could go have a lot of fun and he supports her. And sometimes he joins in and sometimes he doesn't. And he said to us the other night, it doesn't have to be fair to be fun. Like, I don't need to have the exact same dynamic that she has or even the same desires that she has for it to still be really fun for me. And sometimes she plays with other men and sends me videos or sends me pictures. And that's a great way to involve me. And I don't need to be equal. I don't need to couple swap or something like that for it to be fun. Now, this is my second relationship that I've been open with, my second and last husband. We opened up towards the end of our relationship and it was completely open. So I've had the freedom to sleep with as many men as I wanted to, and I have done that and I've had a lot of fun with it. And for me, this is just a different kind of dynamic that I'm in, at least for now. This is what we're in. And I love it. And you're right. I do find it really sexy that I'm his. And I have a lot of friends that have a problem with this. And they tell me, you know, I don't think it's fair. It's not fair. I don't understand. And I'm like, I'm having so much fun. And I love that Scott always keeps the focus as the two of us? And how can we grow closer through this experience of being open and bringing other women into our relationship so that, of course, she feels honored and she feels a part of all of it, but we're always together in this experience in some way and in sharing it. And I so appreciate that he doesn't just go date other people and not involve me.
So it does come back to the involvement. Like, it brings you closer together just because it works for you. Fair or not fair, it doesn't matter.
I particularly never wanted to have a policy about it, though. I wanted to have the freedom, everybody to choose for themselves. But that being said, I also realized, like, even though we say in the poly world that, you know, love is a renewable resource, you know, we can give as much love, but that's true. But time is not, and resources are not. And the more we have, the more poly relationships we have, the more that gets divided up. So it's just a realization, like, if we start having more and more relationships, we keep adding to it, that means less time for you and less time for you and less connection. And I feel like the relationships start to get a little bit more shallow and watered down the farther we went out. So that part was more important to me than anything. I'm like, I want the most I can get with these relationships. And that would be my fear. If, like, we all started dating other people seriously, it went down. It's like, pretty soon we're just roommates now living together, trying to keep up with each other's stories. Oh, how was your date? How was your date? How was, you know, it'd just be too much at some point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. We had it in our notes that we wanted to talk about what a unicorn is, because I think a lot of people either misunderstand it or have their own definition of what a unicorn is. So to me, it just means a woman that is free to date alone and interested in dating alone. So not necessarily maybe single, maybe married, maybe in a relationship, but is interested in having relationships and sexual relationships, especially with couples.
Yep. Exactly the same definition. I think some people say single, but I think if you're married and you're, you know, a woman and you want to go play with another couple, you definitely are a unicorn. And I find with a lot of my friends that are unicorns or women that we've dated, they wear the terminology with a badge of honor. They love it. They think it's sexy. And, but there is a whole camp out there as well that thinks it's degrading and, you know, I don't know, takes away the humanization of the person if you call them a unicorn. And again, like, we all get to have our own thoughts on it, but I think it's a fun term. And if I was in the same boat where I was, like, free to go find other couples to play with, I would definitely call myself a unicorn. I feel pretty special.
Yeah, I get. I mean, the whole purpose of the thing is they're hard to find, and they're, you know, and right. What's so bad and demonized about that name? I think it's great.
Right. And even as a unicorn, I think it is bad that that's so demonized, because there are, like you touched on, there are women that genuinely love being a unicorn. They love that, you know, it's like a kink for a lot of girls that I know, that they just enjoy that. So why shame women for enjoying that? At the same time, there's plenty of women that don't want that. You know, maybe they want to date both separately.
I have a theory on it, and it's not, it's because some couples have a tendency to look at this unicorn as somebody to satisfy their desires, and they use that person and then out. They don't create a connection. They're not really, don't really care who this person is as a human being. It's just this, I'm thinking mostly the couples that already are not necessarily satisfied in their relationship, and they're looking for this quick fix, and they're like, oh, let's have a threesome. I have a kink. I have a fantasy. Let's do it with this person. And then after they're done, okay, bye. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you want. I don't care if you want anything more serious. And that's why probably the whole term unicorn is not well received.
Jennifer, maybe you could tell us, we were talking last night, we're trying to figure out the opposite of the unicorn for the male. Is it the bluefish, the dragon? It's not, we figured it's not a stag.
Or the bull. I mean, I think it's all of that, right? But so, so the bluefish is, I think, a single man. Dragon is married. Bull is like a BBC. Right. So I think that there's more terminology for men based on their relationship status and what they're packing than women.
That makes sense.
I would love to go back and double tap a little bit, Liv, on you. So you were a unicorn to Shar and Josh, right?
I don't think so. I just dated Josh. I never dated them initially. I mean, I met them as a couple. just because Char's and Josh's profile were linked on Field, but I actually dated Josh alone. I never dated them as a couple.
And they were already officially dating before I even met Liv.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've never actually dated a couple.
Okay, so your relationship with Josh then morphed into a relationship with Char, and now you're all together. And would you talk a little bit more about that? Like, the people listening on my end aren't going to know that you all live together and there's children that you're raising all together. Like, can you talk more about that?
So I initially met Josh. I was non-monogamously dating, and Josh was poly dating, right? And we had a relationship and we moved in together as a V dynamic. There was no romantic relationship between Char and I. And then as things progressed, Char and I developed a relationship. So now we can actually call ourselves a throuple. But initially it was just friendship between Char and I.
Yeah. Friends with benefits. The benefits were always there with us being bisexual. Like, it just made sense, you know?
Yeah, their relationship didn't start right away. It was after we had been living together for quite a while. Right. It was like slowly over time, they got closer and closer.
Admitted. Finally, we're honest with ourselves and each other that, hey, I love living with you, but I would like to have more than just exactly. Friends with benefits, roommates situation.
We did a whole episode on that too, about when it first happened. That freaked me out a little bit. I got all nervous about it. I was like, what's going on here? Like, this is mine.
Yeah, I think we touched on it in the polymomming episode.
Like, yeah, we did.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't think of it as like me polymomming him, but I can see how that happened.
Yeah, she's like, I'm stealing your girlfriend. What?
Not stealing. I mean, I'll still share.
Can I ask about couples privilege? Because we're talking about terminology. And I'm curious, you know, Josh, being in a V with you here, like, so if anybody's watching and they don't understand what we're talking about, you had a relationship with Liv, you had a relationship with Char. Sometimes you guys had a three-way. You probably were the one, you know, being the ringleader and, you know, having sex with both of them. We do a lot of that too. You know, Liv, how did you feel about being with an already established couple? Did you feel like there was couple's privilege? And if not, then how did the two of you, Char and Josh, how did you guys make sure that Liv always felt included, especially with her moving in with you?
I never felt there was any couple's privilege. If there was any, it was just because it was situational and because of the length of time that Josh and Char have been together comparing to how long we have been together. They've always done a pretty good job at including me. There were the funniest, silliest things usually would be like a little like, oh, that's weird, just because the way they communicate, for example, like imagine being in the house with somebody for so many years and then you just do things your way. And sometimes you don't think that maybe, oh, I just, for example, Char would tell something to Josh and then she wouldn't tell me and I wouldn't know what was going on. But it was something silly. That's when I was like, hey, I'm here too, speak up. But they would try their very best to always include me in the big things. But usually the small things, like, you know, the everyday stuff, that was the little part that actually maybe took a month or two for us to really kind of become a whole, an entire, a full entity. But I've never felt excluded in any way. But I think that's because they did the extra work. They specifically tried to include me in everything.
And I was born poly too. I was always poly. Like deep down, I knew it. And I just didn't know what the terminologies were for it. And didn't practice it. So I'd never felt, I guess I should say later on when I met other poly people and I started hearing about they had secondaries and thirds and all this stuff, I was like, what? Like, it didn't even make sense to me. I was like, everybody should be equal. We're all equal. We're all, you know, human beings. Why would you put a higher priority on another one? And she said, Liv asked me right away about that. And like, you know, right away, third date in about hierarchies and stuff like that. I was like,
I asked you about veto power. It wasn't, they kind of wanted the same thing if you think about it. But yeah, I just, because I was falling in love with him and I was non-monogamous for a long time and I was familiar with hierarchies and I knew what it means when you have your wife at home and or husband and then you're dating somebody else and if that wife or husband all of a sudden says, you know what, this doesn't work for me anymore, then even if you're all into that relationship, you're going to have to say, well, no, sorry. So I did not want to have that. And I think that was my biggest fear. I was like, do you have veto power? Like, what's going on at your house? Like, if Char one day says, this doesn't work for me anymore. And in reality, that would have ruined everything anyways, you know, because you can't really have something where not where everybody's not on the same page. But at least you want to know that the person you're with has the ability to make their own decisions when it comes to where they put their love and where they, you know, gear their heart towards.
And she asked me right away too, like, well, how's the sleeping arrangement going to work? And I didn't even think about it.
That was, yeah. So I was curious. I was like, how is this going to work?
Like, oh, I just sleep with you one night. I sleep with her another night. That's it. It's just a rotation.
It sounded like he knew exactly what he was talking about. Later, I realized he didn't really know as much. He just acted like he did because he's never done that before.
He was just saying what made the most logical sense to him without actually putting it into practice. And we probably should clarify also for Jen's listeners that when Josh met Liv, he already knew, or he and I already knew that ideally we would find an additional life partner. So that's where Liv's talking about, like, what are the sleeping arrangements and everything going to be? She knew from the first date that that's what Josh was hoping for. She didn't think, she didn't think that was for her at all. Like, oh, good luck with that. Here we are.
So how are the sleeping arrangements? Is this like a sister wives thing or you have a giant king bed?
No, we're sleeping in separate bedrooms. So we're actually, we're now that it's all three of us, we are alternating between Josh sleeping in there in my bedroom or in Char's bedroom. And then in the weekends, we all sleep together. So everybody gets like everything.
But we do have two master suites, one on the top floor, one on the bottom, and two ginormous king beds on each one of those floors. So yeah. It is very comfortable.
Yes, it's optimized.
And blankets. Tell you, we should give the blanket secret.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If there are any listeners out there that like to sleep three people to a bed, extra long twin size comforters is our best solution that we have found.
One for each.
One for each, yes.
So nobody's trapped in the middle and they can't get out the blanket in the middle of the night.
So that there's not too much blanket.
Everybody we've told this to so far has wrote us. We've got more letters from our listeners about the blankets than anything else so far. Like, thank you. We probably still wouldn't be together right now.
So there's not a king size sheet. You just each have your own comforter on the bed.
Yep.
Super comfortable.
Yes. Yes, twin size comforter. That's, yep, extra long twin size. It's perfect.
It becomes tricky when you're trying to snuggle and you're trying to get to the other person and there's so much blanket that you don't know which side is which and how to feel them. But
you have to stop worrying about it after a while. You're like, whatever. It's blanket. Kick it out of the way.
So I'm curious, and I don't know if you guys have ever talked about this on another podcast. I'm trying to make my way through all of your podcasts right now, but how did the kids handle this? Were they excited to have like another woman in the house?
They were. Yeah, they were very receptive right from the beginning. It's also important to say that they were very young. They were 3 and 5. And just, we have a huge family anyways, so they were used to having other adults around. And when Liv started coming around, they loved her right out the gate and were very welcoming and warm. And
that was probably the easiest part of everything. They, first of all, kids, when you have somebody new in the house, they're like, yay, you know, new person. Now it wore off. I'm not that exciting anymore.
No, but for them, it's like they just have three parents all the time. They have two moms that take care of them.
They try to take advantage of it. When one of us says no, then they go to the other. Yeah, they're very sneaky.
They're learning that that doesn't usually work out well, but they're also learning who to ask first. So like if they want gum, they just know they don't come to mom. They come to Liv.
Our daughter is in first grade right now, and she wants to start her own podcast. She's always in the studio pretending that she's a podcaster. And she loves to tell everybody at school about Thruple Talk and that her family's a thruple. And I think that, I don't know what the teachers think.
No, but yeah, just to answer the question, the kids are doing great. I think they like the extra energy in the house. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman. I'm sure because I'm a woman, it makes it easier for them. And I don't want to talk bad about throuples that are two men and one woman. It depends, I guess, on the people. But they definitely like the extra feminine energy that they get from me in the house. I've always had very positive reactions from them.
We also worked, and we also were very conscientious to make this just very normalized. Like, we didn't ever want to hide the relationship structures. Obviously, don't give them any information that's not age appropriate. Like when Liv first started staying over on the weekends and they picked up pretty quick that Josh wasn't in my bed. And like, where's daddy? Like, oh, he, you know, he's in Liv's room. Like, wait, what? Why? And as long as I didn't make a big deal out of it or act like it was weird, it was just normal to them. And then same thing once we didn't always spend weekends all together. And when we did start spending weekends together, like they'd come in, because usually they've picked up that Josh is not in my bed one weekend morning. So they like to come in and snuggle with me. We watch, you know, watch a movie or something. And then we started all sleeping together. It's like, Mom, where were you? Like, oh, I was in Liv's room. Like, oh, why were you in Liv's room? Like, I slept down there last night. Oh, okay. Huh. And then they just, it just becomes normal.
Yeah, they adapted to it very quick. Started knocking on the door at 6 a.m. wanting Cheerios or whatever.
You hear the little voice under the door, Mom.
Yeah. Do you guys have other throuple friends?
No, actually, our daughter just asked us that like sometime this last week. Like, do you know any other throuples in real life? Like, well, no, we've talked to them via email and online and stuff, but.
We've quads and stuff, but yes. not an actual throuple, live in especially.
Yeah. Yeah. We have polycules, but yeah, not throuples.
Yeah. What you have is pretty unique, which is exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think you and Scott could ever do something like this?
You know, I've been asked the same question, and I imagine when the kids are gone that might be something that we, you know, look at. I have teenagers, so mine are 12 and 15. And so we're kind of on the other side where, you know, like, it's a potential in the next, I don't know, 6-7 years or something. Also, we date, we tend to date women that don't want to come move in. So we have one of our girlfriends is, she's older than us. She's got a 30-year-old daughter. Like, she's very independent. She's dating other people outside of us. She does not want another live-in partner. She's really having a fun time on her own. She likes flitting kind of in and out of our life, you know, as we have dates and stuff. And then the other girlfriend that we have is married and she has young children. So very much needed at the house. She's got 4 kids and her husband's also dating. They're very open. And so it doesn't make sense, you know, at this point with the partners that we have. But I mean, in my personal like scenario of happiness in the future and what that could look like, yeah, I'd love like a commune, like all my people, let's just all live together. We'll have some chickens.
Yes. Yeah. One of your episodes.
Whoever starts it first, we'll all move there.
I'm in.
How about you, Jennifer? Do you know any other throuples in your real life?
No, which I find interesting. Lots of people in our life are swingers. We're part of I'm in Northwest Arkansas. So we're like right by Missouri and Oklahoma. And so we kind of border all these little states, not little, all these big states. And so most of the people in this group that we're in are swingers, which, you know, is not conducive to this kind of thing. And then the polyamorous people that we do know, they don't tend to be super attached to their partners. And I guess maybe the way that we are doing. And I think out of the two of us, out of Scott and I, I'm definitely more the polyamorous one. I'm the one having multiple conversations with multiple partners all throughout the day. I have this just giant capacity for people. You can't see me, but I'm like holding my arms really big. And I love that. Like it feeds me. I love people. I have a podcast. I love talking. So I feel like maybe I'm the ringleader of the group and everyone's kind of just watching. Like, is this going to be a disaster for Jen and Scott or is it going to be great? Because we want it to be great. So I can imagine as we move forward. And I would also say a lot of our friends are still new to the lifestyle. So 1-2 years in and they're still trying to figure out like, what is our dynamic and what do we want? And do we want long-term partners?
Yeah. Do you have many friends or clients that have vocalized that they would like some like a throuple or long-term partnerships?
A few. Honestly, most of the clients that I have are, we just want to have, you know, we just, most of them are like, we want to have a three-way. Can you just help us find a woman to have a three-way with?
That's where we start.
Because from there, it's like, and then regular, you know, like, can we have regular people in our lives that want to do this with us?
That's how you end up in a throuple.
Yep, exactly. That's the natural progression.
What if we could do this every day?
Well, you're just going to have to move in.
And that's what I love too about having multiple partners is, you know, one of our girlfriends might be really, really busy, and then the other one might be momming, and the other one, you know. So I like having two or three people outside of our immediate relationship that we can connect with and put things on the calendar and know that we're having regular time together.
Right. That makes sense. And I understand that comes with the versatility of personality. I talk about it all the time. People that are non-monogamous or polyamorous, they have this. They have the capacity to just fit so many types of things into their lives. And when they're missing, then they feel unfulfilled. And that's why you need more partners, or you need more relations, types of relationship. It makes so much sense to me too. Like right now, I think like our most serious relationship is with the podcast. But yeah, if the podcast wouldn't be there, I see us actually being interested in connecting more with people. And I don't know how that would work, because we talk, even in our conversation, we're talking about the unicorn that wants to date couples. Would we find a unicorn that wants to date a throuple?
Right.
It's already a whole new story here.
Especially with both of you being bisexual, there's a lot of fun things you could do in that.
Yeah, when we originally started with the podcast, we were like, you know, we just thought, hey, maybe we could help people. Like this was like a, you know, like a side thing, I guess. But we started getting letters like every day. I think we could get a letter almost every day. Somebody writes, thank you so much for this podcast. This is really helping us. You know, we just started. It's always one person in the throuple that doesn't, is whether it's the woman joining or man joining or the pre-existing couple, they're trying to figure out, and they're going through and listening to all of our podcasts. And when you get these letters that every day, you're like, all right, we got to step this up. You know, yeah. They can't just be on here just joking around anymore. Like, yeah, we need to start giving episodes out that actually help. So we started doing that, and we started cranking it up and doing a couple episodes a week, and it's a lot now. Now I'll try to like keep up with all the questions that people send into us. Like,
but we love the questions, and we love the thank yous and all of that as well.
Yeah, you start to realize it's your purpose, like it's your life's work to be just be shiny. And the fun thing is, you just get to be yourselves. The three of you just get to show up and be your amazing selves. And you're going to attract people that want that authenticity and that want to have a lifestyle like yours, or want to feel empowered by what you're creating in the world, and that you're so brave to show up in this way. Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that is really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do things better than we have in the past. So if any of these topics sound interesting to you and you'd love to get some coaching from me, check out the link in the show notes or the link in my bio for more information on coaching with Jen.